Ladies and gentlemen, more importantly, heathens and harlots, greetings and welcome to the first episode of My Crumbling Audio. It's a weird name, but if you bear with me, we'll get through this. My name is Crumb, some of you know me as Bloot, and that's cool. I'm the weird kid who never grew up, a game streamer and a daydreamer, and I am your host for this ride into the mind of a guy who probably shouldn't have access to a live mic. If you haven't heard the ads, shame on you, my pals are awesome. This is a show about everything that interests me, with a goal of interesting and entertaining you enough to come back for more. What do we do here? It's simple. Open, humorous, and frank discussion on horror, kink, wrestling, and gaming. Throw in a little niche music and some porn talk, and we've got ourselves a podcast. My goal is to take some headlines from sources I trust and hit you with my take on the content. I'll sprinkle in a few personal bits, and if anybody gives me permission, throw in a song or two for good measure. Ideally, I'd love to morph this show into a sex and kink-positive show with sex toy reviews and interviews with adult performers, but I mainly want this to be an inclusive experience for all my fellow nerds and deviants. You might be thinking, why now, Crumb? Why did you get into the podcast game now? Well, in all honesty, I didn't. If my voice sounds familiar to you, it's because I have done this game twice before. First foremost, I was the host of Subculturally, which ran for 9 and or 10 episodes, depending on how you run my timeline. Then, along with my wife Crises, I was co-host of the Crises vs. Bloot Show. But what she has found out is that she enjoys Twitch streaming far more than perhaps I do, so she decided to maintain her Twitch streaming and enjoying her video gaming, and I decided to come back into the realm of the podcasty world. Because, believe it or not, I did actually miss it. I just didn't think I had anything in me in terms of what I wanted to talk about. I'm still not 100% sure if I do, but we're going to find out together along this journey. With all that being said, there were a couple of things that got to me the last time I started doing a podcast. So I want to let you guys know that there will be no time constraints on this show. I will put out a 15-minute episode. I might put out a 50-minute episode. I can't guarantee the timeline because sometimes there are just going to be things to talk about and sometimes there are not going to be things to talk about. I know the idea is to put forth the consistent, a consistent performance, but a consistent level of content is what I'm aiming for. So I want to make sure that you are entertained for the full time that you choose to spend with me. So I will never guarantee a timeline. Now, of course, as I said, I'd like to do some interviews. Those episodes will, of course, be longer because I never want to cut someone off when we're having a good conversation. I have a confession. I love black metal. Like, really love it. A lot. Like, I was the kid in corpse paint with leather spikes in high school and well into my 20s. But as with most things that I love, I've kept myself at an arm's length away in terms of really knowing the ins and outs. Call it a flaw, but that's me. What I mean is, I never got to the root of where black metal came from. I picked up a Cradle of Filth CD, Cruelty and the Beast, for those keeping score, after having been into more traditional metal, kind of like Metallica. Yeah! Sweet segue, engaged. Metallica's video for Man Unkind was directed by Jonas Åkerlund. And if you've seen it, you've seen where this segue is headed. The cast of the upcoming movie Lords of Chaos appears in said video, and it's said movie that brings us back to black metal. It's a documentary about the origins of black metal as told by at least some of the people who lived it. The flick centers around Varg and Euronymous, and fuck you, spell check. And when I say some of the people who lived it, it's because one of those two fine gents is currently deceased. I presume he will continue on in set fashion, so he won't get a say when the film inevitably gets something of his wrong. I'm being vague because I forget which one it is, but I'm fairly certain the other dude is in prison, so either way, I'm pretty safe. I've not seen the flick, so I can't give a rating. But I'm going to track it down when it hits VOD because so much of my youth was spent entrenched in that culture and sound. A slight aside, way back when, I was a judgmental prick, and black metal came above all. It's a bullshit mentality to have. But apparently, this mentality is almost a prerequisite to be a quote-unquote true fan. I was a member of the black metal subreddit, and to this date, my posts there remain the only downvoted posts I've ever made. My sin? Making shit-tier recommendations about bands to listen to for someone just discovering the genre. I'll continue to be a fan, but I'm going to sit out that pissing contest, kids. Okay, we've all got one or two fetishes that we may want to keep close in our minds, but sometimes we want to share them with the world. Enter girls and corpses. For the uninitiated, it's exactly what you think it is. Hot women and faux corpses in various playful poses. It's much more than that, coming in as sort of a dark vaudeville horror mag. Seems as though all that wasn't good enough for Corpsey, who happens to be the editor and publisher and owner, as they're branching out into cinema with scripted and unscripted films in the works. I'd kind of like to lean on the unscripted side of things and talk about a film called Underbelly, Beneath the World of Porn. That title makes it sound like some sort of a sleazy expose, but from what I can gather, that's far from the case. It's a documentary about performers in adult entertainment and B-horror movies and their struggles to gain success in arguably the most scrutinized industry on Earth. The best part? It's done through interviews with the stars, so you get a personal connection and a peek behind the performer into the person. I find it interesting to look at the darker side of things from the man who brought us such a fun-loving entity like Girls and Corpses. Footage was collected over a few years and features names you've heard of, and a few you probably haven't, because let's face it, I haven't. Unless you watch more porn than me, which is unlikely. Pervert. Joking aside, the film casts a big light on sexual harassment in the porn industry, which is more prevalent than any of us not in the industry are aware. This is a huge step forward, necessary because harassment on any front needs to be snuffed out. The film comes out sometime in summer 2018. Hit the links in the description to be kept up to speed. Since I've given streaming a try, I've been compelled to watch those Twitch fail and ban streamers videos on YouTube. What I've noticed, in a very generalized way, is that dudes get banned for racism, while girls get banned for overly sexualizing themselves. Oddly enough, men and women cheat at games at roughly the same rate, but that's beside the point. Racism and negativity are inexcusable, and those that participate should remain banned from any public platform, and that's my soundbite on that. Now, as far as sexualization and nudity go, we kind of have to address those separately. Nudity, and more specifically toplessness, is verboten on Twitch, so it's pretty cut and dry when someone decides to blatantly show off the goods. Oddly enough, there are at least two dudes who go topless regularly on IRL streams, and they still seem to be allowed to do so. So I gotta be honest, it does surprise me that more than a few women have been tossed from Twitch for twerking. Fuck, I missed it up. Anyway, alliteration, boom. Enter Plexstorm. They're a site that frankly fills a niche that Twitch won't scratch. While the site is directed very specifically toward porn girls who also game, I can't help but think that some regular streamers might have better luck on that platform. Connecting gamer girls to fans is an awesome idea, but I'm kind of curious as to what safety measures have been put in place. Not much is known right now. That's not a negative. They have time to fill everything out and fill in all the blanks. It's just a reality of a new business that people are going to have questions when you're talking about exposing people who expose themselves. Anyway, you get it. I'm also interested to hear about their pay structure. I'd assume some type of rev sharing model, kind of like Twitch, maybe like YouTube. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with their pay. But at the very least, they can copy Twitch's model or someplace like MyFreeCams for the time being. And it's time for the first ever installment of Clickbait of the Week. I gotta be honest, this isn't exactly clickbait, as the site is kinda reputable. Lauren Cohen's contract for The Walking Dead runs out after this season. So technically, right now, since the whole thing is produced and ready for air. Cohen reportedly asked for a raise, which she rightly deserves, on par with Andrew Lincoln and Norman Reedus, and was rejected outright. This brings up a value proposition as well as a moral dilemma. Should pay parity exist? Absolutely, man. Absolutely. However, is Maggie worth as much to the show as Rick and Daryl? I've been fighting with myself over this answer, and I can't even come to a conclusive yes or no even as I record this. They're introducing new characters nearly every episode, so it wouldn't take much in the way of rewrites to oust Maggie and throw, I don't know, Jesus? Or, Edith. Maybe even Edith, that would be better, into the role of Maggie. Two other points come into play here. The first being that apparently this is a standard procedure for acting contract negotiations. That honestly sounds like some form of damage control bullshit. The second point is that we've seen before in The Walking Dead that contracts mean next to nothing. Oddly enough, This happened the last time a strong female lead was emerging when they gave Andrea the suicide way out. Lori Holden, back then, stated that she actually had an 8-season contract, but the showrunner at the time, the same guy who killed Carl, said he couldn't see her lasting that long, so he gave her the bullet. Will Maggie continue? Personally, I hope they come to a resolution to see Cohen stick around, but apparently she's got 6 scripts on her desk right now, so Maggie may have a less than ceremonious death during the off-season. And you thought they weren't going to give us more cliffhangers. It is the song of the week. Here comes the song of the week. It's much better than this. It's a hit you just can't miss. It's the song of the week. I love doing this segment, so it's back. Each week, I'll feature one song. If I get permission from the artist, I'll spin the track. Either way, I'll post the Spotify or buy link in the notes, and I encourage you to check out some new tunes. This week's Song of the Week is Soldier by Adam Is a Girl. Huge shout out to my Discover Weekly playlist for this one. I'd never heard of them, but am now a fan. Think of a darker version of Ladytron. And let me know what you think of the song. Bands, I would love to feature your song right here. I'm aiming for anything from pagan folk to industrial to black metal. Get at me, and I'll be happy to take your music for a spin. That is all for this week, heathens and harlots. If you like what you heard, take 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, and review me on iTunes. No iTunes? The RSS link is right in the description. Copy that into your podcatcher of choice and tell 2 friends about the show. I'll be back next week for another round. You can catch up with me on all the social media from the links in the notes. You can also catch my beautiful face on Twitch randomly. The more you watch, the more I do it, so head there and give me a follow. For now, I leave you with the best advice I've never gotten. If you can't be good at it.